All right, guys, welcome again. Back again for another week at the Barbershop, playersvoice.com. I'm your host, Mark Gray. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. And without further ado, bring to you the worst producer in the business. A1, how you doing today, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, guys? Are you ever going to come up with something better than that?
I got to be myself, man.
Unfortunately, you do. Well, no, DJ couldn't be here today. He's actually away on assignment. He'll be gone for a month or two. So, DeMar, if you're listening, good luck to you out there. I think he's actually in Dominican Republic for the next month or two playing ball down there. So good luck to you in your season, and welcome back, buddy. We have your seat here waiting for you when you get back, and the sooner you get back here, the sooner A1 hands over that microphone. So that being said, make sure you get back. Just to take care of the quick business first, A1, what do I need to pass along to these folks? What do I need to be telling them? iTunes, go to the check us out on iTunes. Is it the Barbershop?
Yeah.
Go to iTunes, search menu, the Barbershop podcast.
Yeah.
And you can look right there, and you'll see the Player's Voice icon. You can go to the website playersvoice.com. Go to the podcast page. There's a link right there to subscribe to the show, to download the show, to listen to the show. And once you subscribe to the show, it just updates you when another one comes out, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Automatically?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, if you have an Android device, any Android podcatcher, whether it's Pocket Cast or whatever, just type in the Barbershop and it'll come right up.
Say that one more time.
Android, any Android device, any podcast app you might have on there.
Okay. Facebook, playersvoice.com. Twitter, Gray A. Mark. That's the handle. And you know what? I actually tweeted, I think, two or three times last week, A1.
That's what's up.
That is a record for one week. Lot happened since the last time we talked. We had to take a break because of snow last week. So we got snowed out last week. So it's actually 2 weeks since the last time we talked. And just to breeze through a couple things that happened. Going back to the All-Star game, I remember the next day the storyline, people trying to make something out of Westbrook scoring 44 points in the All-Star. What did he score? 40 points in an All-Star game?
44, I think.
No, I think it was 40. I don't know. Doesn't really make a difference, is my point. Exhibition game in which people are shooting like there's no tomorrow, and that's what they do. Melo out there just throwing the ball up there like it was no tomorrow and then shuts it down the day after. We'll get into that later. The weekend, that All-Star weekend, I told you going into that, we discussed before that the three-point contest, which I think this year was the best field that we probably ever had. And I told you I didn't know who would win, but I could tell you who wouldn't win, and that was James Harden, and he finished dead last. I'm not even sure what would possess him to enter that contest when you see those names. Like, James Harden can shoot. The people who enter that contest, with the exception of maybe Steph Curry, all they do is shoot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not even on their planet.
He'd have been better off in the dunk contest, probably.
Yes. Like, I mean, now, James Harden is probably, he's going to, I think right now he's probably the front runner for the league MVP, and he's having a great season. But, I mean, when you talk about the likes of Kyle Korver, the guy Bellinelli, J.J. Redick, these are guys who their only purpose of being in the NBA is to shoot three-pointers, wide-open three-pointers at that. You know what I mean? So he came in last. It was a great competition, man. And that dude, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, boy, for them to come 1-2 and be on the same team, Steph Curry, I think, made 14 in a row at one point in time. That dude is amazing. And the amount of people who actually hate on him is really mind-boggling to me. People want to discount him, and I don't really understand what there is to hate. The guy's amazing. He really is amazing. I think a lot of people, out of the woodworks, it seems like, are you noticing a lot more Westbrook fans everywhere? As I'm on the internet, I just see all these Westbrook fans, and like I've told you for years, for some reason, people think that when you like A, you can't like B, which is, I don't understand as a sports purist why you wouldn't want to see good basketball. You know, like I don't understand why if you like this person, you have to hate the other person. And what I'm noticing is these Westbrook people who want to say that Westbrook is the best point guard in the game, they've taken an assault on Steph Curry for a reason that I don't understand. What you can watch in Steph Curry's game and not like. You know, I don't understand what there is to not like. That being said, Rushbrook is kind of taking his game to another level recently. And when they did the Kobe interview and they asked him about players that he saw or who, I like the idea of Westbrook being taking that Kobe throne in L.A. Like, I think, now that being said, obviously you'd have to get him some help. But in terms of being the actual face of the Lakers or a franchise, I agree. I think that as we sit here, perfect segue, I sit here and we're watching this. Did you see that right there? The your boy last night had a good game, or two nights ago. Jeremy Lin had a good game, and they're interviewing him after the game. Did you see that?
I did not see that, no.
Okay, so they're interviewing
Jeremy Lin. I saw the good game, though.
Okay, Jeremy Lin has a good game, and so they're interviewing him in the middle of the game, at the end of the game, and Nick Young walks up on him, acting like Nick Young, and Jordan Hill, and they're just standing behind them, acting like complete idiots, like the guy, the next door neighbor in the house video that burned down on the nightly news. They've never been on TV. Nick Young walks up and he just starts, "We're in the building like we never left. Oh da 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 da." And Jordan Hill's like, "Yeah, Swaggy P popping, hitting free throws. That's what he do." Then Carlos Boozer sticks his head in there and he's like, "Yeah, man, we in here. Da 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 da." And Jeremy Lin is the only person in the whole entire video who has any respect. He's just standing there looking at them like this cannot be happening. And so then Kobe's on Kimmel the next night, and they play the video for Kimmel. They play the video for Kobe, and they're like, "What do you have to say about that?" Kobe couldn't even speak. He literally was speechless. He just shook his head, and Kobe was embarrassed of the Lakers, and for the Lakers, excuse me. And to sit there and watch that, and you see, this is a team that was just came off of a 7-game losing streak, and they just won their 14th game of the year. And you look at that organization, you look at where they are, and you're thinking, when you watch that, what is Kobe doing? Like, why are you even there? What is going on? Your teammates are people who are celebrating the 14th win of the season. And not only they celebrate, they're acting like idiots, too, on top of it. It's just sad that the Lakers have gotten to that. And I would love to see Westbrook there. People like Nick Young, and nothing against Nick Young, obviously. I think he's a talented basketball player. But if Nick Young is the face of your franchise or the second best player on your team, you do not have a very good team, like, at all. You know what I mean? Like, it just that's just sad. And the fact that he's super excited about beating the Celtics, who are equally bad and might even have less wins than them, while you're about 100 games out of relevancy, ridiculous. But yeah, back to the All-Star game. Then Jack LaVine comes in, steals the dunk contest. I remember literally I was sitting down, wasn't expecting. I watched the first couple of dunks, and it's sad that we've gotten to the point when I'm watching Oladipo. Is it Oladipo who was out there? Mm-hmm. And Victor the dunks Oladipo that he's doing, and you're like, that's okay. He's like 6'4".
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and this dude is doing things that are just unreal. Mm-hmm. And that's the level of spoiled that we have gotten as fans. And it's like, you know, okay, he can do a 360 in midair, not impressed.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude is 6'4", dude. Like, and he was doing crazy things. And we've just become so spoiled by, and then you see why. Then Jack LaVine comes out, and you're just like, oh, my goodness. I literally jumped out. I was like, oh, my God, he did not just do that. Every single time, it was just, it's like the dude is floating on air. And it's crazy that we had that level of talent. And then out the blue comes all this LeBron talk about how he wish he had entered the dunk contest. Come on, dude.
Same thing every year. It's after, like, it's over.
Yeah, what are you talking about? And, oh, now my time is past. No, your time is past. I will agree with you there. But, I mean, you didn't. And you should have if you had something. Now, that being said, I can understand why you didn't, because you wouldn't have won. Because, I mean, how about that for a fact that, you know, he says he's in an in-game dunker. I don't know. I could.
But I mean, if you've ever seen any of his pregame dunks during warmups, he has some nice stuff in his repertoire.
He's physically able to do anything anybody else can do. I mean, you know what I mean. So I couldn't see why he wouldn't. He has the leaping ability. He has the strength. Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't. You know what I mean. So I don't know why his hindsight of now all of a sudden he wants to. I should have been in the dunk contest. Yes, you absolutely should have. But overall, All-Star Weekend, not bad. Not bad. It's a good weekend and a good promotion of the sport. After day after Melo decides he's going to shut it down, and I think he takes a lot of people are asking me, you know, and the critics were coming out and saying, you know, that he shut it down the day after playing. You know, I think he played like 30 minutes at that in the All-Star game. I think he led the game in minutes and took 20 shots. And people are saying, how was he able to do that but then shut it down? And what people aren't factoring into that and what's been reported the whole time is, one, the Knicks and the coaching staff, the people upstairs, they've been asking Melo to stop playing. All right, so this idea that, like, he's being selfish, he went out there and he's been playing for the team just to get to the All-Star break. But nonetheless, so I don't have a problem with him playing in the All-Star game, and I don't have a problem with him shutting it down. I do think he probably, I think he should have shut it. This idea that he should have toughed it out for the rest of the season for what they're paying him, that's just dumb. That's a dumb idea. You're not going to gain anything. There's no purpose in going through and just putting more wear and tear on your body for no reason whatsoever. That doesn't even make any sense. So I don't have any problem with Melo shutting it down. That being said, the Knicks are so bad, it's not even funny. And I can't really say. I mean, it is still too early to judge the Phil Jackson project, because obviously the project isn't complete. I would not be surprised at all if 2 years into this thing, Phil says, thank you for the $25 to $30 million I've made. I'm going to be heading back up out of here. And it will just be the latest in a long line of just the Knicks are so dysfunctional, it's not even funny. Right after another thing that happened right after the All-Star break, Amari gets bought out. Okay, if you look at the track record for $100 million contracts for the Knicks, not even the league, for the Knicks, and not only that, the high contracts, talented players who had impressive resumes before they got there, what the money they made in New York and what they've done in New York and then got bought out. If you're a Knicks fan, it makes your head sick. And there's nothing to suggest. I don't understand why anybody would think it's going to get better. You go back and you look at when they had Steve Francis. Okay? Steve Francis, they paid him for what he did before. Never did a thing for the Knicks. Stephon Marbury, you remember when Stephon Marbury, they were paying that man $20 million, and he bought a ticket and watched them at the Lakers game. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was sitting in the stands. He was the highest-paid player on the team, one of the highest-paid players in the league, and he was buying a ticket and watching the game in the stands. They paid Stephon Marbury to go away. Zach Randolph, they paid Zach Randolph some ridiculous amount of money. Send him off, and then he turns into a perennial all-star player, okay? Zach Randolph, Amari Stoudemire, they pay people that people do absolutely nothing while they're in New York, and then they just buy them out. Tyson Chandler, I mean, the list is ridiculous of people who've done nothing in New York but collect a ton of money. And if I'm a Knicks fan, at what point do you say this is beyond getting old? We just keep throwing money out there. They brought Amari. They got one good year out of Amari for $100 million. That's insane. And it was easy for a long time. The blame was on Isaiah Thomas, which was very much deserved. But Isaiah's gone, and they're still making terrible decisions. And you know, if this Melo thing is true, that he signed with the torn whatever, I would hate to see the Melo just be the another in a list of $100 million contracts that the Knicks offered to people whose best days were behind them.
Yep.
And I don't see, again, it's still early in the Phil Jackson. Even from the coaching, I want to double check this because it didn't sound right. But I saw the money that George Karl was getting. And am I wrong in that number is lower than what Derek Fisher was getting?
I don't know.
The number I remember, I want to say it was, you can pull it up there. Pull up George Karl's numbers for what he signed for. But I feel like the number was less than what Derek Fisher was getting. And if that's the case, that's just more Knick money that they're just wasting and just throwing at people for no reason. And you think about this, you know that, I mean, obviously you know, but remember that Steve Kerr this time last year was assigned.
It was a 4-year deal for $4 to $5 million a season.
So $20 million. And Derek Fisher's deal was what? I think it was like $24 million or something like that.
Something like that.
It's George Karl's. Go pull up Derek Fisher's number. George Karl's number was what you said? $4 million a year?
Yeah. $4 to $5 million for 4 years.
$4 to $5 million for 4 years? 5 years?
Yeah. 4 years.
and Derek Fisher. What are you using? What kind of dial-up? Are you on AOL? Connecting? Slowest internet. That's why they don't call you the worst producer in the game for no reason, man. The time it takes you to get this stuff. Sure to make it look a lot easier on television. What are you using? Why are you so... Oh, you just type it in Google, and it pops right up.
Well, just go to the next segment, and I'll have it up for you in a minute, okay?
But, you made me forget. You're so bad that you made me even forget what I was talking about. That's how bad you are.
$25 million, 5 years.
So, essentially, George Karl, with 1,000 wins, Derek Fisher has zero.
He has 14.
14 what?
Wins with the Knicks.
No, I'm talking about when he signed the contract.
Okay.
How was that a good decision? Obviously you're going to say one's coaching in Sacramento, one's coaching in New York, but one's a Hall of Fame coach, it's not even a Hall of Fame player. You know, it's like the Knicks decisions, it just seems like every Knicks decision, and then here you go, you watch the Cleveland comes into town this Sunday, and who leads the Cleveland charge? Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith. Knicks are down 20 before the game starts. Game starts at 1. By 1:30, they're down 20.
To ex-Knicks players.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hilarious. It really is that's what the Knicks have become. Like, they're just a stopgap of just bad contracts. And now, also, funny segue from that. Did you hear in a local story, just to touch on it quickly, did you hear Shanahan's, 2-hour interview on 980?
Mm-mm.
He was on there this week, which I have to believe that Shanahan is trying to get out and get some PR points because he's been on 4 or 5 interviews and still yet to get a job. So I guess he feels like he wants to clear up some of the things that happened here. And to hear him talk for 2 hours about the Redskins and this organization, again, like the Knicks, makes you realize some franchises are and some franchises aren't. And the Knicks and the Redskins just aren't. They just aren't. Only thing that hasn't changed in both scenarios is owners. And it's 10, 15 year span, had 8,000 different coaches, each of them. You know, so many different coaches, so many different star players, so many different free agents, so many different draft picks, so many different GMs, so many different everythings. And the only thing that the result's always the same. One thing that you're always going to get with both of them is drama. You're going to get expensive players. And one thing you're not going to get is wins. Like, that's what the two organizations have in common. You're listening to him, and it's a whole lot of just, it just looks sad. Just listening to the stories about, he didn't throw Griffin under the bus, but it just looked very unprofessional. If you didn't come away from that saying, man, I think Robert's a winner. It was just, and the organization just looked so dysfunctional. He blatantly said he did not want McNabb. Said he didn't want McNabb whatsoever. He came in, he was told that he was going to have full say of everything, and then the very first, within hours of him getting there, they're handing him down to McNabb, and he said he didn't want him. And now, oh, by the way, coach, we gave up draft picks to get him too, and you're not going to have any draft picks next year. He said, I didn't want him. I said, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it work. That was a disaster. He inherited the Haynesworth thing. He gave the background of that. The Haynesworth thing was a disaster. Why did you give Haynesworth $21 million? And then the guy says, I don't want to play this position. All of he inherited that. He said he tried to do his best with it, and it just didn't work. And then you just look at it. And then now you hear the Redskins then being mentioned with the Adrian Peterson thing. As a Redskins fan, you've been here long enough. You know how that will even go.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay him some large sum of money and then he'll probably be done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they'll be like, wow, who knew this 30-year-old running back who's got God knows how many carries, 2,000 carries in his career, who knew he was done?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, everybody, except for you guys. You know what I mean? And it was just to look and see from his side, I was listening to the fans afterwards, and they're calling in, and it was just like another person who comes on here and just says, not my fault, not my fault. And that organization, man, good luck. As a Skins fan, all I can say is good luck to you, dude. Like, good luck to you guys. You guys are not going to be good.
Aren't you a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan?
Yeah, but here's the difference, though. There's a difference between bad teams and, like, teams that just have, like, they're just bad teams, and then there's bad organizations. The Bucks are a bad team because the players on the team aren't good. That's why they're not a good team. You know what I mean? So, I thought Schiano, I couldn't stand him. I thought he set the franchise back quite a bit. I felt like for a while there when Josh Freeman came in and Blount was there, I felt like we were heading in the right direction. Then we added Vincent Jackson. The defense was getting better. I thought we were heading in the right direction. Out the blue, Schiano just destroyed Josh Freeman. Like he went from 25-8 to damn near 8-25 in a year, and the team was just went downhill from there. But so like I said, there's a difference between bad teams where the team is bad because the people on it are bad, and then there's bad organizations where it doesn't matter who goes there, who's on the team, they're just going to be bad. And the Redskins are just, they're just going to be bad as long as Daniel Snyder owns that team. The Knicks are just going to be bad as long as Bob Dolan owns that team. Let me see.
What his name was? James Dolan.
James Dolan. I'm sorry. What did I say?
Bob Dolan.
I was thinking of Bob Dolan. James Dolan. Sorry. A-Rod's apology. You see that?
Yeah.
Man, that whole thing is just... It's kind of like funny, you know, that's how this dude's career is going to end. They owe this guy $66 million, man. And I'm baffled at why you never, I mean, it's a huge number, but at what point does it get to, just please take your $66 million and go? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You're turning the team into a, I am glad that this didn't happen last year. I think Major League Baseball got that right in suspending him. Don't fool yourself and think they didn't have everything to do with Derek Jeter. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, listen, we're gonna have Derek Jeter's farewell tour, mm-hmm. and we're gonna honor him, and you're not even gonna be in sight. Like, we don't want you. It's not gonna be Derek Jeter's last game. Oh, and A-Rod's on steroids. Mm-hmm. Like they made sure that he was far away from the whole Derek Jeter tour. So I do think they did that properly. And I think at that point, you gotta come to some sort of agreement where A-Rod just fades off into the sunset. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe you pay him 50 and tell him, please go away. I give you a check for $50 million. Just please leave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you find a way to spread out the $66 million over the next 10 years. I don't know. But it's going to turn into a circus, and it already has. And because it's going to be, if he performs, it's going to be, is he on something now?
Right.
Or why would he doing that before?
Right.
And then if he doesn't, it's going to be every single day. And if they bench him, the story is going to be, how there's a guy on your team who's making $30 million and he's sitting on your bench. You know yeah. what I mean? So it's yeah. like that's all you're going to hear from that whole time. Jumping out of baseball. Did you watch the Daytona 500?
I did not. Even though I know it's Jeff Gordon's last hurrah, but I didn't get around to watching that.
I actually watched probably like the last 15, maybe 30 laps. It's pretty entertaining. Not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know that's not our listening. But the concept of where they just keep, where I'm watching the race and then guy, incident happens with three laps left, excuse me. And instead of finishing under caution, which is what they used to do years ago, they decide we'll bunch up all the cars and let them just go one last lap. And I'm watching this and I'm like, am I the only one who's, like, how does that not end up in a car accident?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm watching. Like, what would make you think that it's safe to jump up all 40-something cars and say, hey, guys, one lap, and think that there's not going to be a car accident? You know what I mean? Like, and then, of course, almost half the field end up crashing in an accident because you got everybody going for broke on one lap.
Yeah.
It, for a sport that's supposed to be concerned about safety, you cannot tell me that that's the best interest of the drivers. Now, I understand why nobody wants to see the Daytona 500 or any other race for that matter.
Finish under caution. Yeah.
I get that. But you can't say it's in the best interest to just bunch them all up and say, have at it for one lap or two laps. When you got guys who are going to be trying to go from ninth to first
mm-hmm.
in two laps. You know what I mean? That looks like a disaster waiting to happen, and it was. It's exactly what ended up happening. Literally, just like as soon as I saw it, I was like, that can't be safe. What else was there I wanted to touch on? I watched 2 weeks ago. It was almost a week ago. 2 weeks ago now, watched that Duke-UNC game. Did you watch that?
I didn't.
You know, what do you do? you look like a comic book guy. You just read comic books.
I'm more into postseason sports stuff. So when March Madness happens, NBA playoffs, MLB playoffs, I'm a playoff guy.
So you just don't even care about like the regular season?
I care, but I don't invest a lot of time into keeping up with it
so
all the
time. So
you're
the guy who like shows up at the bar and has all these opinions about March Madness and the playoffs, even though you didn't watch the season?
I know what I mean. I know what's going on.
What do you do? So the time that you invest when you're watching March Madness and you're watching the NBA playoffs, what do you do with that time during the season?
Read a lot of books, man, you know?
That's terrible. Anyway, so I'm watching the UNC-Duke rivalry game, and it's everything that it was supposed to
be. And I work on my producing, practice my craft.
Yeah, right. That's what you need to do. I'm watching this Duke-UNC rivalry, and to me, it's every single thing college basketball is supposed to be. It's just the tension is there, the hate is there, the history is there, everything is there. And as a Maryland fan, it just stings to not be in the ACC. It just stings when you watch rivalry week and they have the triple header of this team versus that team, and you know, and you're just watching it, and you're thinking to yourself, like, so who do we get for rivalry week? Like, oh, okay, them. It's our first meeting. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Michigan State.
Yeah, it just like, come on, man. It stings. It was a great game, and I deeply missed the ACC. I'm sorry. I deeply missed the ACC. You see the Redskins. This is what I want to talk about. And I know you're going to say I didn't see this. You don't see anything. The DeAndre Jordan free throw situation. This concept, so are you aware of that? Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
You know who DeAndre Jordan is?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a basketball player. He
plays for the Clippers, I know.
Yeah, he's really tall. And he can't shoot free throws. Yeah. Okay. So, teams are doing the hack-a-shack on DeAndre now. And for some reason, people are coming out and calling for the NBA change the rule. Since when, where in life do we change something? Where do you get rewarded for not being able to do part of your job? Like, if you start with the, man, this guy can't shoot free throws, they're fouling him, we're going to change the rule. So if you go there, what if I say, man, my point guard, he can't break the press, man, you guys got to stop pressing. Like, we got to change the rule. You guys are full court press, we got to eliminate that, no more press.
Well, I feel like a couple of years in the NFL, I think it was after the Colts and Patriots playoff game a few years ago where they kind of touched up the rules for defensive holding or something. And then didn't they, like, put extra focus on it after last season because something happened?
No, they tried, in football, what they've tried to do is create more scoring. So by doing, in order in an event to create more scoring, they started calling all that. You pretty much almost like they're saying what the cornerbacks would say is you can't even touch the receiver. And they do that to increase the scoring. It makes it that much easier for the receivers to be open, and it makes it almost impossible. That's why they say there's no such thing as a shutdown corner anymore because you can't even touch the players. But in the NBA, they're not. The rules were made that if somebody fouls you, you get two free shots, not contested shots, two free shots. Now, how is it that they're giving you free shots and your player cannot make free shots, and you want the rules to be changed? How about this? How about, to piggyback on what you said, how about working on your craft? How about, like, I don't understand how somebody not being able to perform their job has the right to ask for rule change, and then for fans to say, that's not right, you shouldn't be able to do that. You shouldn't be able to exploit a weakness in somebody's game, is what you're saying. Exactly. I look at DeAndre Jordan, who is a physical specimen. He is probably the best defensive center in basketball. And I look at him and I say, what, you know, you look at a player and you say, what is his weakness? And you try to exploit his weakness. Is that not at the heart of what sports is about?
Exactly.
Exploiting somebody's weakness? Isn't that the reason that we play this? Is to find out what somebody's weakness and try to, I mean, isn't that the art of war? Is to attack somebody's weakness? Mm-hmm. And now with sports, is to attack somebody's weakness within the realm of the game? Mm-hmm. And now you say, you look at somebody like, whether it be Shaq, whether it be Rondo, whether it be DeAndre Jordan, you say, what is this player's weakness? He cannot shoot free throws. Okay, we're going to put him on the free throw line. For years, what was Jason Kidd's weakness? He couldn't shoot, so they left him open. Mm-hmm. They didn't come up with a rule that said you have to guard him. right? That's not what you say. That's not fair that they're not guarding him and they're playing off of him, so that gives them a more of an advantage on defense, because that's not how it works. Exactly. So you know what Jason Kidd did? He practiced and practiced. He never became Steve Kerr, but I mean, he's the third all-time leader in three-pointers made. You know why? Because they just let him shoot forever. And he said, I'm going to shoot him. And, you know, eventually, by the end of his career, he was respectable. Again, it wasn't like a sharpshooter, but he was respectable. You cannot say that in a competition that you're not allowed to exploit people's weaknesses. Like I said, I remember, we both remember very well the Duke-Maryland game in which Steve Blake fouled out, and we lost a 10-point lead.
In a minute,
because nobody knew how to get the ball past half court.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get to say as Maryland fans, "Hey, come on, guys, our point guard's not in the game. You can't press. You can't press. That's not fair. You know we don't have a point guard." Or is that our fault that we don't have anybody who knows how to break a press? That's your weakness. If your point guard is unable to break the press, that's his weakness. If your center is unable to make free throws, that's his weakness. What about these teams out here who don't have a center? Do you get to say? Does Golden State get to say, "Bogut's hurt, man"? We're like, you guys can't score in the paint. That's not fair. We don't have any shot blockers. Our center's weakness. If they say, "Man, as soon as they take out a shot blocker, where they say attack the basket, you go to the ref and say, "Man, we don't have our shot blocker in there, man. That's not fair. They shouldn't be allowed to attack the basket. That's exploiting the game." You say the weakness in the defense is there's no shot blocker, so you attack the basket. That's what the weakness in their team is. They have a guy out there who cannot make free throws. Put him on the free throw line. If you have a guy who out there who can't shoot three-pointers, you don't guard him. Do the Atlanta Hawks, when they go out there and they throw a guy like Kyle Korver out there who cannot guard anybody, do they get to say on the other end of them, like, "Hey, man, you guys can't dog him like that. He can't play defense. I mean, that's not fair. You can't go to him every single time down." Remember when we were talking about the Kevin Love thing, and I can't remember which game it was, they just went straight at him defensively, just every single time down. "This guy can't guard anybody. We're just going to throw the ball. It doesn't matter who he's guarding. We're going straight at him." Do the Cavs get to say, "Hey, man, you guys know Kev. You can't, if we switch his guys, you can't go at his guy. You know, if he's saying if he's guarding this guy and then we guard switch him to another guy, you can't throw him to the other guy too." No. If they decide that they want to take advantage of a guy, a weakness that you have on the field, we see it in football all the time. As you watch the Legion of Doom, whatever the case may be, they don't throw at Sherman. You don't say you guys have to throw at certain people. You say, "Hey, if you're going to put a rookie cornerback on one side and an all-pro corner on the other side, guess who they're going at?" Do you say, "That's not fair"? The concept that exploiting another team's weakness needs a rule change is the dumbest idea. At what point, where are the people saying it's a shame that a guy can't make? They stop. If you go over like 60%, they stop that immediately. It only becomes mathematically beneficial if you can trade 2-for-1. It does not become mathematically beneficial if he's making 2 out of every 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So how do you, if you have a problem with people fouling you, make the shots. Make the shots. It's that simple. Nobody bailed Shaq out. They shouldn't be bailing out DeAndre Jordan. And at a certain point, the coach has to decide, "DeAndre, you're coming out." And at which point DeAndre needs to decide, "Man, I'm hurting my team." The same way, if he was a defensive liability, which there are people on his team who are defensive liabilities, they have to decide, "Man, I'm hurting my team by my inability to guard people." You know, we see people all the time, as you know, people just because you start doesn't mean you finish the game. How many times do we see people out there at the end of the game who aren't starters, but they're out there because when they can guard somebody or what? Bruce Bowen, offensively, didn't even belong in the NBA, right? But he was a defensive, that was his job. You know, and what he had to became able to do is knock down that corner three-pointer. And they didn't guard him. So he just got better at it. You know what I mean? And they still never guarded him. And teams had to decide whether it was worth it to let him stand in the corner and shoot threes or guard him. And for the most of the time, they decided just let him shoot from there. And if he makes it, he makes it. That's what you live with. It's picking your poison. And if you have a problem with it as a Clipper coach or a player, then DeAndre Jordan just needs to get better. Period. At free throw. I mean, it's that simple. The reason we play sports is to take advantage of the other team's weakness. That's the purpose of winning the game. The whole Herm Edwards thing. You play to win the game. You know what I mean? And that's the purpose. Is it Is it fun? Hell no, it's not fun to watch. And is it does it drag the game on, and is it painful to watch? Yeah. But maybe he should just get better at free throws. Or take him out. That's my whole thinking behind all that. And it's just crazy to me to hear people who I actually otherwise consider intelligent saying, and competitive people. I think it was Van Gundy or one of those former coaches was saying you shouldn't be able to do that. And you shouldn't be able to exploit a weakness of a player. If you had a point guard who can't dribble left, and you were like, hey, man, you guys can't keep forcing him to the right, man, to the left. Why not? Not because he's not really good at his left, man. You shouldn't force him to his left. He's not good at it. Just try that. If there was a baseball batter, and it was the scouting report was, man, you get this guy a fastball, it's out of here. Can't hit a curve for nothing. And people just kept striking him out because he was hitting curveballs. You'd be like, come on, guys, that's not fair. You can't throw him a curveball. You know he can't hit curveballs. Why would you throw him a curveball? How dumb would that sound?
Pretty dumb.
Right. You would say, then obviously you're not a complete baseball player if you can't hit a curveball. And that would be the difference between you being a Major League Baseball player and working at Target. You know what I mean? You can't hit a curveball. That would be your thing. Just try it in any other sport or try it in any other scenario in life and just say, I can't do this, and they're exploiting me for it. It sounds dumb. Our goalie can't really block balls, so you shouldn't be able to kick the ball at him. Golf, you know, he's not really good at putting, so he should just not have to putt. You know, he's really good at driving, he just shouldn't have to putt. In bowling, he can't pick up spares, so we should only count his first ball. But other than that, he's an exceptional bowler. You know, he just can't get that six pin. But, you know, if we can we play without the six pin for him? In any other sport, it sounds dumb. You know, so boxing. Imagine if somebody said, man, you can't hit me with uppercuts. I can block anything else but uppercuts. Speaking of boxing, I know you're a boxing guy. Biggest fight of the century. Too late?
No, not too late.
Not too late?
Not too late.
If at the height of this, 5 years ago, this had happened, on a scale of 1 to 10, you'd be 10 excited.
Yeah.
What are you now?
8.
8? Any hope for... It's too late to get a trilogy, though, right?
I mean, if it's maybe 1 this year, 2 next year, maybe. But other than that, other than a scenario where it's 3 and 3 consecutive years, I think it's too late.
And what do you see happening?
I mean, my initial thoughts are that Floyd is very much a complete fighter, so he'll probably win. I think Manny's going to have to really go deep into his bag of tricks to pull this one off.
But you do think it's possible?
I think it's possible, absolutely, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you scenarios, and you can tell me if it's possible. Floyd knocks out Manny.
Definitely possible.
Really?
Definitely. Absolutely. Even though he's not known for that, he can. Like, if Manny fights recklessly and carelessly, Floyd can definitely catch him and knock him out.
Would you say that's the least likely scenario out of all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Manny knocks out Floyd.
That's a tough one. For a fighter who's maybe only ever even been down once, and that was questionable when he fought, I think it was Zab Judah, maybe, I don't see Floyd getting knocked out.
So you think he can't catch him?
I don't think Floyd can be knocked out.
You think he could beat up Floyd?
I've only ever seen Floyd ever have one really tough fight in his career. I don't see him getting beat up. The what I can see happening is, if you go back to when he fought De La Hoya, De La Hoya was winning that fight. He wasn't beating Floyd up, but he was winning the fight. And then De La Hoya did what he has a tendency to do, is he started coasting. But he was actually dominating Floyd for the most part in that fight without beating him up. Mm-hmm. I think Manny can do that, maybe. But I don't see Floyd getting beat up by anybody.
So it sounds like what you expect to happen, which is what always happens, is almost another uneventful Floyd fight. Is that what you expect to happen? Do you expect to see Floyd beat Pacquiao up?
Pacquiao really doesn't have a tendency to get beat up either.
I mean, because a typical Floyd fight is,
I mean, it can be a
coming after Floyd, Floyd just avoiding them.
Yeah.
Do you see that being the case again?
Yeah, I see that. I can see that. this is why I think Floyd will probably win, because I think Manny will try to pressure him. Floyd will avoid. Manny will get reckless, and I mean, Floyd will catch him. I don't know if he'll knock him out, but I mean, it's definitely possible.
But more so, you're just going for, he'll just outpoint him.
Yeah.
More than likely, I guess that would be the most likely scenario. I really wish this would have happened 5 years ago, and not because of the age, but because of what Manny was as a fighter back then,
yeah,
and what he is now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember every time Manny fought for a 3-year span, I left watching that fight thinking, that dude is a problem. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He was beating people up, like barroom beating people up, just full-fledged attacking. And now, I haven't seen that Manny in a long time. So, I wanted to see that Manny versus Floyd. Still, to me, looks doing the exact same thing then as he's doing now. Like, I literally see Floyd doing the exact same thing. So, it's almost like, to make the analogy, it's like if you see the number one offensive football team that scores 50 points a game versus, say, the Ravens defense, and you want to see them come together. It's like now that offense is now 20-point-a-game offense. They run the ball. They control the clock.
Mm-hmm.
They're not throwing down the field. They're more of a balanced attack, and, you know, they control the field. And the defense is solid, not as good as it used to, not, you know, whatever. So the team is versus, you know, another defensive juggernaut. Like, that's you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah,
while I want to see the Manny who was just going balls to the wall, hitting everything moving against Floyd, and see if Floyd could avoid that. It was like we had an opportunity in boxing to see the number one offense attack against the number one defense attack. And
yeah,
I'm just not even sure if Manny's still the number one offensive tank anymore. And even if he is, damn sure ain't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So that's why I say my because I do think if this fight had happened 5 years ago, I don't think it would have been a typical Floyd fight. I think Manny would have either A, caught Floyd something so serious it's not even funny, or B, he just wouldn't have been able to get him, and Floyd would have schooled him. You know what I mean? But we would have had our answer then. I still feel like we will never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it was almost like the whole set. You know, everybody wants to say don't compare. It's not the same as the Floyd, as the Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones, because obviously at that point in their career, they were both beyond done.
Yeah.
But it's still, to me, again, I feel like we were robbed of seeing. Now, Roy beat Bernard at the beginning of their careers.
Yeah.
But when they both were at their prime, that's what we would have wanted to see. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
we never got to see it. And it's almost like, I mean, 3 years ago, I'd have loved to see Kobe LeBron. I don't really need to see Kobe LeBron NBA Finals right now. It's just LeBron's in his prime and Kobe's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Pacquiao, I still think, I wish there was somebody of Pacquiao's, what he was doing 5 years ago now, because
mm-hmm,
I do think Floyd's still just as much on top of his defensive game,
yeah,
as he ever really was. Will I be watching? Absolutely. $100 is, that's a hell of a number that they're coming up with. All these numbers that they're coming up with, $100 a pay-per-view buy?
Well, I haven't paid for a pay-per-view since probably Floyd versus Shane Mosley. So considering I don't buy him that often, I mean, I don't have any problem putting up $100 to.
I mean,
it'll probably be the last pay-per-view I ever buy in my life. So.
And the thing is, I think that's the way you look at it. I think so much goes. The bigger question, which people aren't addressing, is what happens after this fight? Like, let's say there's different scenarios. Now, if Pacquiao beats Floyd, instant rematch. Everybody, Floyd deserves that, you know, whatever the case may be. Floyd goes in there and it happens. It looks just like any other Floyd fight. Can't be touched. Can't be better. I think boxing just dies. I think,
yeah,
Floyd has one more fight, which he would fight somebody that nobody could care less about. Pacquiao at that point has to go away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is the last two people in boxing that people care about.
Yeah.
Now, there's boxing enthusiasts who are listening right now. DeMar, if that's you, you probably, no, there's this guy in Kentucky who's really good. And there's, I mean, I'm talking about box office guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That drive the sport.
Yeah. The time for them really to fight was when Pacquiao beat De La Hoya, Ricky Hatton, Miguel Cotto.
Yes, yes.
Antonio Margarito.
And the thing is, at the time, they were fighting the same people.
Yeah.
It was like he would fight Hatton, then he would fight Hatton. This guy, would, and it was just like, he would fight De La Hoya, he would fight. And it was just like, come on, man, you guys are fighting the same people.
Yeah.
Just dancing around it forever. And now, that being said, I am with Floyd that he didn't look right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's also being swept under the rug a lot. And a lot of people just like to say he was dodging and they don't acknowledge what Floyd, like, because Floyd all but said, like, yeah, I am dodging him. But here's why, like, he doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I think that was a valid point.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely have, especially if at the time what they were saying and he what his requirements were for the drug, and he and Pacquiao saying he wasn't willing to do the blood testing 14 days out and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Floyd, and this is not a basketball game, he's literally beating people up.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Floyd, like, no, I don't need this guy on steroids beating me up. You know what I mean? Like, if I thought somebody was on steroids, I don't need to get in there and fight him.
Yeah.
You know, and boxing is the one sport where if you think somebody's cheating, whether it's, you know, putting rubber cement in their gloves, mm-hmm. or they're on steroids or any of the other scenarios, like, mm-hmm.
putting hot sauce on their gloves.
Yeah, like, I need a fair thing. We're fighting.
Yeah.
We're actually fighting. So yeah. I don't really, like, I do think Floyd was running, but I don't blame him. I am with him. Now, obviously, Manny's never failed anything, but just from the eye test and just, there's a lot of people like that. You look and you say, man, I mean, obviously innocent until proven guilty, but you mm-hmm. watch some of them like, something don't look right.
Yeah.
I remember 3 years ago, I was watching Jared Allen play. It's like triple overtime, and this guy's coming like it's the first play of the game, and it's like, I don't look right. You know what I mean? Like, he's played every single snap. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of looks odd.
Yeah.
You know, you just wonder, like, why is he the only person on the field who's not tired?
Right.
And at the time, he was picking up DUIs and everything. So it's not like, you know, it's like, man, you know, he's just a well-conditioned athlete or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're all well-conditioned athletes. I feel like when you get to a spectrum of that level where everybody is a well-conditioned athlete and you stand out like that, you're just mm-hmm. kind of like, something don't look right.
Exactly.
Just like, you know, back in that era, well, that's why when everybody says something about the steroids and baseball stuff, and I was like, so you didn't think it was odd that when used to be the requirement for a power hitter was 20 home runs, 30 home runs, you were an elite power hitter, 40 home runs, you're talking about one of the best seasons in baseball, that people were getting 30 home runs by the All-Star break. You know, people, the year Brady Anderson was the leadoff hitter and had like 2 home runs, and then the next year he had 52 home runs, like, and everybody's like, oh man, you know, the ball is juiced. The ball is juiced? The ball is juiced? And that it would just be, I mean, it was 70, you know, you think about it, that we went, it was something like 60 years without anybody hitting 61 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, that was the norm.
Yeah.
Sosa like hit 60 runs, home runs every 4 years in a row. Nobody had done it in 60 years. He did it 4 years. It became the norm for him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, just do 60 like it's nothing. You know, it just didn't look right. McGuire's hitting the ball like 900 feet.
Yeah.
For no reason. Like, that's kind of odd. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how, when I looked at that Manny thing, I was with Floyd like that. This dude started off like 90 pounds and the heavyweight champ of the world. You know, he's like running through people. Like, that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
So I was with Floyd. I was definitely with Floyd. And the thing is that not only was he moving up in these classes, he was getting faster and stronger. People don't get bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. I mean, bigger and faster. That's just not how life works.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, more power to him. I look forward to it. I think it's going to be the death of boxing one way or the other. I think, you know, if for some reason there's some huge slugfest that goes down to the wire and a split decision, and I've just never seen anything in any form of a Roy fight that looked like that. So, a Floyd fight. What did I say? Did I say Floyd?
You said Floyd, yeah.
Okay. I just don't see anything that suggests that that's what will happen. I hope it does. I hope they give boxing fans what they wanted. I mean, I almost feel like I said, if this is going to be the last fight for boxing, man, I hope they send it off properly and do set it up. Maybe, you know, like you said, maybe they can sneak in. I kind of feel like if Pacquiao gives a suggestion that he could have won, I don't got Floyd giving him a room. Yeah, Floyd doesn't look. I don't think there's anything dumb about Floyd. And I think at that point, all you're the only person who has anything to lose.
Mm-hmm.
He has one more fight after this one, right off into the sunset. If you can squeak out a win against Pacquiao, and like I said, you just squeak it out, and it was close, it could have gone either way, I don't see why you would sign up to fight him one last time, in which there's a scenario that you could lose your last fight.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like, you know, if you get to face that monster and you beat the monster, don't sign up for it again.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be my thought. And then I wonder, like, what does it do if he does lose? The whole Floyd Mayweather.
That's big. If he loses, that's really big.
His whole thing is about being undefeated. You know what I mean? That's the reason people tune in. People buy Floyd Mayweather fights to see if anybody can beat him. Nobody's ever signed up to watch a Floyd fight. Like, man, I can't wait to see Floyd knock this guy out. That's not what it is. They wait to see if the other guy, okay, I mean, he's essentially in there as a moving punching bag, and it's just to see whether anybody can catch him. You know what I mean? That's it. So if the mystique about it is gone, it's gone. I don't think Floyd will be one of those guys that people will be waiting to see if he had two losses or three losses. And that's kind of how Roy Jones was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like once he got knocked out or got beat, it was mm-hmm. just like cliff. You know what I mean? That was it. It was all about being, I think he had ran it all the way up to almost like 50-0 or something. You know what I mean? 50-0 sounds a lot different than 50-1.
Well, no, because he had one disqualification.
But he had not. But he disqualified for beating the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy was on the ground. Guy was on a knee and he punched him. So, yeah. I mean, nobody ever counted that against him. He was beating the guy. The guy was down on the canvas.
Yeah.
He punched him two times while he was on his knee. You know what I mean? So that certainly wasn't a loss.
Yeah. They knocked the guy out in the first round next fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, well, I think you touched on, I mean, there was a couple other things. I still want to talk about what's going on over there in Dallas. I want to talk about the decision between Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray. Then Adrian Peterson's situation. He says he doesn't want anything to do with I think that's going to be interesting, how this whole Vikings-Adrian Peterson thing plays out. Would you pay Adrian Peterson?
Veterans minimum.
He's definitely not playing for anybody's veterans
minimum.
Definitely
not playing for me, then. Honestly, running backs past 30, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Thing is, like, would it surprise me if he went out there and was returned to his all pro form? Absolutely not.
But I mean, my thing is, even when he was all pro with the Vikings, like, how many playoff games did they win?
Yeah,
you know?
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. And my thing is, like I said, would I be shocked if he defied odds and was great at 30? No. I would just not be putting my money on it. You know what I mean? Because I can tell you what I would not be surprised by is if he was completely done. You know what I mean? If they said which one of these two scenarios would shock you more, I would say I would definitely be more surprised with him being a productive back. And now we're even talking about 1-2 years? Absolutely don't see that happening. But I would not be shocked at all if he went out there and was just done. Got hurt in the second game of the year. That wouldn't surprise me. So when he asked me, am I going to be paying him $15 million? Especially when the way the running back position is, I can probably get somebody in the third round who can give me 1,200 yards.
Exactly.
And might be somebody on my practice squad who can give me undrafted guys. There's going to be four undrafted guys there's going to be four guys who don't get drafted this year who rush for 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's just where we have gotten to.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out of nowhere. I'd pass on that. That's why to me that decision between Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. I'm pretty sure I can find somebody else, especially with the offensive line that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive I can find somebody else who can go out there and give me what DeMarco Murray's giving me. If not, slightly less.
Yeah.
The Dez Bryants, they don't grow on trees. Dez Bryants do not grow on trees. Good luck. You're not going to find any Dez Bryants. There's no Dez Bryants running around on practice squad. You know what I mean? That there isn't. There's DeMarco Murray's on practice squads. There's no Dez Bryant on anybody's practice squad. That I can certainly tell you. You excited that Gruden came out and said that RG3 is a starter?
No.
You think he should have?
I have no opinion on that, honestly.
Are you completely done with the RG3 experiment?
Yeah.
You do think he could be successful somewhere else though? Like, would you
yeah,
be shocked?
Absolutely.
You wouldn't be shocked if he left here and went somewhere else and became a Pro Bowler.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked by that, but you know what I would be shocked by? I would be shocked if he became a Pro Bowler here.
Yeah, I would too.
I would be shocked if anything positive happened for him.
Well, it depends. If they can get out of this phase where they're enamored with big name, like you said, they were looking at
him and the coach aren't getting along, and he's not gonna succeed in a situation where you're the starter today, but there's a good chance you bench at halftime. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or you know, if you're starting this whole naming a starter every week to week, that doesn't work. It just doesn't. It doesn't work for anybody. Never has. Never will. That's not how teams work.
Yeah.
Teams need continuity. Players need to know who their starting quarterback is. Receivers need to know. It's a different game plan all the way around. Until the Redskins say he's our quarterback, bar none, whether we lose 7 in a row or whatever, we are fully buying into RG3. And this.
But
is
why would you buy into a quarterback that's going to lose you 7 in a row, though? I mean, at some point you do have to produce.
No, you do. But it can't be you can't be looking over your shoulder every single play. You can't be wondering when is the hook coming, because then you get a divided locker room. Because
yeah.
then that receiver who doesn't feel like he's getting as many targets as he should get, since the door is open, he's going to stick his foot in the door and be like, hey, man, I think the number 2 guy deserves a shot.
Sure.
He's going to start talking to other people. And next time this guy feels like he's not getting the targets, now you get 3 guys who they're not getting targets. Now, the fact is somebody's always not going to be getting targets. And they're rooting for number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the divide starts in the locker room, because you have opened, as a coach, you've left the door open. And it's up for debate who's the starting quarterback. And once you do that, it becomes, you know, guys who think this guy. Some guys think this guy should be the quarterback. Some guys think this guy should be the quarterback. And then the other people start, then the offensive linemen start chiming in because, you know, this quarterback, whether it's Robert, he doesn't get rid of the ball, so he makes us look bad. You know, man, I wouldn't have been a sack if you had got rid of the ball. Man, the second guy, he always gets rid of the ball. You know, and then you just got just bad, and nobody succeeds in that type of way. If I'm Robert, thank you, been real. I'd like to go somewhere else and just start all the way from scratch, And just, that's what I would do if I was Robert. I'd cut your losses. If he's here for 3 years, what was he, 3 years? This will be his 4th?
Yeah.
1 good year, 1 bad year, and 1 injured year. Call it a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, call it a day. Cut our losses. It's been real. And I don't doubt for 1 second, in another environment, another team, Robert Griffin would be successful. I don't think he'll be successful here in Washington. All right, well, that's it for this week's show. I appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you download the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate it. Is it rated?
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and rate it. Give us, what is it, thumbs up, stars?
All that stuff.
All of that good stuff. We want all of that. If there's a section for A1 individually, just tell you that he is terrible. And that you would like us to get a new, as soon as we get the budget up, first thing we're going to do, you know, they always say, like, what are you going to do when you get a new check? Mark, what are you going to do when you make it rich? What are you going to do? Get rid of my producer. That will be the very first thing that I do. First time anybody's knocking on the door, what are we, gone. You are gone. You want to get you an Uber, get you right up out of here, buddy. I wouldn't even, just gone. All right, guys. Thank you again. Make sure you check back next week. Next week's show will be up there, but if you subscribe, it automatically comes on there. All right, thank you guys. Take care.